Good evening and welcome to the Old Time Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham, once again coming to you from Boise, Idaho. We have got quite a bit to get into, and we're going to get into this episode of Dragnet. It was actually very interesting. I had my monthly meeting with my employer, and she actually has a connection to one of the living stars of Dragnet. So I'm thinking about, once we get close to his show being on, where he plays a major role, we might try and work that connection. Not quite yet. I don't think it'd be the best time, but we will try and do that. We got a couple interesting comments on Podcast Alley. Please comment on us at podcastalley.com. Adam, if they're available, consider including the original commercials that ran with the shows. This would add some additional interest and historical context to your programs. Now, I should go ahead and clarify here as we get started. This was one of the things we decided when we first did the show. We were not going to do the in-show commercials because it was, you know, it just didn't seem, one of those things where the particular commercials were a little annoying, because of the context and the way they were done, and they weren't just worked into the program, you know, very naturally. And speaking of that, I did want to let you know that actually we do have a sponsor for the show. Leaving your shoes at home is one thing. Forgetting critical files at the office trip for your business trip is quite another. Go to My PC can save the day. It lets you access your PC from anywhere, so you can grab that file you got and be fine. With GoToMyPC, you can operate your PC just like you were there. Use all your programs, files, network, resources, and email from anywhere. Try GoToMyPC free today with a special offer just for listeners. 30 days of GoToMyPC free with unlimited access. Just visit GoToMyPC.com/podcast. That's GoToMyPC.com/podcast. Try GoToMyPC free today. It's wise to use GoToMyPC. I appreciate the point of view, and it's really, we've gotten the emails, you know, both sides. Some people like it, some people don't like us editing out the ads. The ads are basically for Fatima cigarettes, and they tend to just, you know, other than, you know, the product. Now, the good news, too, about GoToMyPC, there were a few reasons we selected it. Some of those were that we knew a lot of people listen to the program are on the go and busy, so it'd benefit them. We also know that, as far as we know, GoToMyPC does not cause cancer. but in all seriousness, the big thing is, I like the shows for kind of their dramatic values. And when you're kind of in the middle of the show, you know, taking that little break for the commercial in the middle of the episode, I think kind of subtracts from that. So some shows, I think, when they do it, you know, they're all about the nostalgia. And I like some of the nostalgia, but the big thing is I like the show. So I appreciate the viewpoint, and like I said, it's something a lot of people have discussed, and, I might someday start a separate podcast just to run the ads, because there seems to be such demand for it. But at this point, now, I think that the ads are, I just prefer not the ads, and I appreciate the other side of that. Also, do you edit out the credits? I hear so many familiar voices. It would be nice to be able to associate them with the actors' names. This is a great question. No, I do not edit out the credits, and I wouldn't edit out the credits if I could, but I can't because there are no credits. I've never heard a Dragnet episode with credits. Now, a lot of radio shows did that, where they said, all right, you've been listening to Dragnet featuring Jack Webb as Joe Friday and Barton Yarborough as Ben Romero, and Raymond Burr as Ed Backstrand. But basically, these shows, when they go ahead and, do this, they basically, there are no credits. And what we know about it comes kind of listening and saying, You know, that sounds kind of like Raymond Burr. You know, that kind of sounds like Harry Morgan. So it's basically experts who have figured out the people in these shows. And, of course, some people were known just as Jack Webb's regulars. And if you've gotten access to scripts and such, you may find out who played what role, who did what. But, there are no credits. I wish there were. It would be great if they had thought of including them. And, no, I certainly would not cut them out at all. But, yeah, there's just no credits to be found. So, yeah, we're just left without them. But I got a couple more comments on GoToMyPC, but not on GoToMyPC, but on Podcast Alley. And please cast your vote for us at podcastalley.com. We definitely appreciate it. Just put Dragnet in the search bar, and we're, again, very close to the top 100 out there. And we're going to go ahead and take a listen. This episode is a very important one that covers something that we definitely don't see a lot in modern crime dramas, but I still think is to shed some light on a very kind of pernicious crime. The title of the episode is The Big Check, and we will back. This comes from, I believe, August or September of 1950. I'll get the exact date for sure before the end of the show. But let's go ahead and listen. The episode is The Big Check.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet.
You're a detective sergeant, assigned forgery detail. An accomplished check forger is at work in your city. His victims, small businessmen. You know his M.O., you don't know his identity. Your job, get him.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, February 4th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working a day watch out of forgery detail. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Elliott. My name's Friday. I was on the way home from the office, and it was 8:25 p.m. when I got to Collis Avenue. Number 4656.
Joseph, is that you?
Yeah, Ma.
We're in the living room. We have company.
Oh, that's all?
Hello, Joe. Well. You remember Mary Fowler, don't you, Joseph?
I sure do. How are you, Miss Fowler?
Just fine, Joe, thank you. Joseph shot me out this way and thought I'd stop by and have a cup of tea with your mother.
Well, it's good to see you. How are things in the old neighborhood, huh?
Oh, pretty much the same. Oh, Miss Daly, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Finally died. Oh. I suppose it was for the best, though. I was just telling your mother. Jim and Louise Watson finally moved. Jim got a new job out by Altadena.
Oh, that's so?
Yeah. My, you certainly looking fine, Joe. Don't you wear your police uniform anymore?
Oh, my, no, Mary. Joseph's in the detective bureau now. He hasn't worn his uniform in years.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. That note you sent was your Christmas card year before last. What do you do now, Joe?
Forgery detail. My partner and I handle bum check cases.
My, that certainly must be interesting.
Have you had dinner, Joseph?
Yes, ma'am. I stopped at a place out in Santa Monica and had some.
Yes, and Mary brought me some nice coffee cake. Pineapple filling. Wouldn't you like one with a cup of coffee, Joseph?
No, I don't know, Ma.
You sit down in your chair there and rest yourself. I was so tired. I have no idea how hard I worked those young times.
You remember Genevieve, don't you, Joe? My oldest girl.
Oh, yeah, sure. How is she?
Oh, just fine. Lots of boyfriends as usual. Going out all the time.
Oh, that's good.
She asked to be remembered to you. I think you and Jen were stuck on each other at one time, weren't you, Joe?
Oh, went to a couple of dances in high school. And I think she started going steady with another fella, buttons.
Young girls, you never know when they're well off.
Coffee doses. Had it here on the end table.
Thanks. I don't think I can use it, Ma.
Delicious coffee cake. Smell how fresh it is.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, my. 8:45. I should have left half an hour ago.
Oh, you have to go, Mary? Our visits are always so short.
I got a lot of ironing to do, and I have to make Carl's lunch. He's always so fussy about his lunch.
Yes, and I'll get your coat.
Well, it's nice seeing you again, Joe. Do you want to be remembered as Genevieve?
Yeah, tell her hello, will you, Miss Pollock?
If you're over our way, be sure and drop in and see us, won't you? Genevieve's home to the office by 6. She often says she'd like to see you again.
Oh,
thanks. Good night, Joe. You be sure to come and see us now. Jen will be looking forward to it.
Okay, Miss Fowler. Good night.
Yeah, I'll show you to the door, ma'am. You're in the neighbors.
All right,
dear.
I
wouldn't
do just that.
Good night. Good night, Mary. Nice person, Mary. Mm. Having a hard time trying to find a husband for Genevieve.
Yeah. Hey, Ma, I'm not very hungry. I can't eat now.
No? It seems such a shame to wait. That's a lovely coffee cake. Then you're still on the same case,
Yeah, same one.
It's taken an awfully long time.
Well, we've been on it 2 months, yeah.
I never understand it when people write bad checks. Always get caught.
Well, it's easy living while it lasts.
Now, you know what the man's handwriting is like. Don't you know who the man is?
Well, we think so, Ma. We're not sure. There's hundreds of check men who work almost alike. Some of them even look alike. There's always a big enough field to pick from. Our problem's picking the right one.
No, I don't know much about it, but the whole thing seems kind of silly to me.
How's that?
What's this man supposed to be doing? Going around your small neighborhood store, stashing $15-$20 checks. If he got himself a job, he'd probably earn that much in one day doing good, honest work.
Mm-hmm. Say, Ben didn't call before I got home, did he?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he with you?
Well, he was going to interview one of the bum check victims on his way home, a grocery store owner down in Highland Park. It might be him now.
Well, now, don't hang on that phone, Joseph. Your coffee gets cold.
Yeah. Friday talking.
This is Ben, Joe. Got a partial identification from that grocer. It's nothing great.
Which mugshot did he like?
Stanley Buback. Grocer thinks it might have been the guy who pushed the check. You can't be sure.
33 bum checks passed. Same M.O. Not one positive identification. Something's phony, isn't it?
I know the endorsements on every one of those checks was written by the same guy. He was practically the same story on every one of his victims.
Yeah.
Those 33 people are either blind or they're kidding us.
Well, there's only one other answer.
Huh?
We're looking for the wrong man. For 2 months and 2 days in different shopping districts throughout the city, a man described as well-dressed and middle-aged has been passing worthless checks on independent neighborhood businessmen. Most of the victims were proprietors of small shops, meat markets, liquor stores, grocery stores. In none of the cases was the check written for more than $25. With the help of the stats office and our record bureau, we've gone through the list of experienced checkmen until we found one man whose description and M.O. matched perfectly with that of a suspect. The man's name was Stanley Buback.
We can't locate him, Captain. Another thing, we can't get a positive identification from any of the victims.
And find a suspect they can't identify. You've been tracking the guy for 2 months. What's the big mystery?
Well, we tabbed the man, Stanley Buback, and his record and his M.O., his description, they all tie in perfectly. Now we're not sure it's him.
What do you mean?
Well, if it is Buback, it's almost a sure thing that one of the victims could have made him on one of his mugshots. None of them can make up their minds.
Look, maybe one of you two would like to be captain of forgery for a day, sit in this office and listen to complaints come in over that phone about this guy, the front office, neighborhood businessmen's clubs, retail merchants. They tell me they're troublesome in passing them on to you. Now, whoever this paper hanger is, we want him fast.
Lousy little $20 checks. We'd probably have a lot better target if he drives something bigger.
I don't think he and 100 other check men like it. Don't know that. You won't find them stealing company paychecks and flooding the town with paper. They take it from the little guy and they take it in small amounts, but add up those small amounts at the end of the year and they'll scare you.
Well, that's the rotten part about it. None of those victims can afford a bad check.
That grocer Donnelly stands on his feet all day and at a profit of $10, $15. He gets tagged with one bad check and he's working for nothing.
We've got bulletins out on the suspect to all the small businessmen in town. They've all been alerted.
Excuse me. Captain Elliot. Yeah, okay, Don, right away. Don Myers. He went over the handwriting of those last three checks, wants to see you.
Okay.
How about that special bulletin you got out to the prisons on Stanley Buback? I Any replies?
Nothing yet, Skipper.
All right, stay on it.
All right, let's go, man. It's a sour deal. I'd give a right arm for a line on this guy.
Yeah. Well, it'd move a lot faster if somebody'd help us follow those checks closer. The way it's running now, we hear about the paper 2 weeks after it's been cashed.
Well, you bet thing isn't helping much. No, just find another line and we get it settled.
Hi, Don.
Oh, hi. Just finished up on those last three checks that came in. You want to give them a look?
How do they shape up?
Well, you can see for yourself. Right here.
Yeah?
Here are the three I just went over.
Mm-hmm.
And here are half a dozen bad ones for cash last month. Now, the endorsements on this half doesn't match perfectly.
And those other three?
Well, I'd say they were endorsed by the same person. Now, look here.
Hmm.
You can notice the capital letters. Now, he still handles them the same way. Disconnected from the other letters in the first name. See?
Yeah, yeah.
But he connects the capitals in the last name. See?
Mm-hmm.
Not very bright.
Yeah.
Not much doubt in my mind. All the other handwriting factors tie in. Form, skill, shading. They all match up. The movement, terminals, they're all the same for my money. Yeah, here, the way he writes the lowercase letters. Yeah, that cinches it for me.
How's that, Don?
Well, here. The inclination of the terminal stroke on the S. See? The slant above the horizontal is just about 55 degrees in all cases.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the finger movement and his capitals have plenty of freedom. They're not shaded much.
Mm, yeah.
Nothing like this in his lowercase letters, though, you see? Here.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean.
Not much freedom here. Lots of shading. And the pressure on the lips. Here? They match up.
Mm-hmm.
Same on the downstroke. Now, I'd say the skill is medium in all cases. Embellishments, both class two.
No changes at all in the style?
Oh, he made the signatures look a little different. All eight factors match up, though. It's the same person.
All we have to do is find him.
Hey, how about this fellow Stanley Bubeck? I thought you had him tapped.
Well, we're not too sure about him, but it's the only line we got to work on, so we'll have to do for now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, the man in the office, you and Joe, James Loomis.
Right, Fred. Be there in a minute.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Don. We'll check you later, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure, okay. See you.
Let's go, Ben. You, Mr. Loomis?
Yes, sir. Sergeant Romero?
No, this is Sergeant Romero here. My name's Friday.
Oh, how are you? Do.
What can we do for you?
It's about these checks, Sergeant. And these right here.
Yeah?
You see, I run a delicatessen out on Sunset, and a few days ago, a new customer came in for a few things and paid for them with these checks. He came in twice.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I got the checks back today. They're no good. I tried to look up the man at the address he gave, but there's no such address.
Mm-hmm.
You can see one's for $15, the other one's for $20.
Mm-hmm.
Reason I asked for you, men, is because I know the man who runs the drugstore across the street, George Holmquist. He had some bad checks about a month ago. He said you took care of them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember. Do you recall the man who passed these checks, Mr. Holmes?
Yes, I think I do. He told me he was new in the neighborhood and he was looking for a place to trade. Well, I guess we're all anxious for new business. I took the checks.
You got those shots there, Ben?
Yeah. Here we are.
Thank you. How about these men, Mr. Loomis? Any of them look anything like the person who passed the checks on you?
No. Let's see. Well, this one, yes, it does look like the man in a way. I don't know if I could be absolutely sure.
Stanley Bubeck, same M.O.
Beg your pardon?
Well, it looks like you're stuck with a couple of bad ones, Mr. Loomis. Probably the same man who passed checks on your druggist friend. We're doing everything we can to run this man down.
But what about the checks? Isn't there anything I can do about them?
No, sir, I'm sorry. Not right now. We would like to have you make out a crime report, if you will, and would you leave these checks with us?
Yes,
sir. Friday, I'm out.
Here it is, Mr. Norman. It just came in for you. Reply from Salt Lake City, Utah, on that bulletin you sent out under Stanley Bubeck.
Yeah.
He's been in jail for 5 months.
We sent a request to Salt Lake asking him to question Stanley Bubeck if he knew of any forger who matched his description or used his M.O. Bubeck could tell us nothing. Wednesday, February 6th, we threw away the results of 2 months of investigation. We went back and started from the beginning. Despite all precautions and warnings, the checks kept coming in at the rate of half a dozen a week. The same M.O. was used. The same handwriting showed up in the signatures on the checks. Again, with the help of the staff and the statistician's office and the record bureau, we waded through hundreds of names of known checkmen and compiled a new list of 38 possible suspects. Each one fitted the general description of the forger. Each one, at some time in his forgery career, had used the same general method of operation. Well, after days of legwork, we finally boiled down the list of possibles to three names: George Roberts, James Young, and Harry L. Johansson. We got out a flyer to all the small businessmen in the areas where the forger operated. Another week passed. The worthless checks kept showing up at the rate of two and three a day. On February 21st, Ben and I answered a call from a druggist in the Echo Park district.
He bought some toothpaste and a carton of cigarettes, Sergeant. Asked me to cash a $20 check for him.
Did you ever see the man before, sir?
No, he gave me the same old story about being new in the neighborhood. That's when I remembered that police bulletin the department sent me.
Mm-hmm. Do you still have that bulletin?
No, I looked it over, and then I guess it got mislaid.
I wonder if you'd mind taking a look at these pictures here.
Not at all.
These right here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. This one right on top, that's the man.
You sure?
I am. It only happened a few hours ago. Do you know who he is?
Harry L. Johansson. That's the name we have on him.
It doesn't mean anything to me. He got real huffy when I wouldn't take his check. Stalked right out of the store. Very suspicious.
Did you follow him?
No, I told Ralph, my clerk, to follow him. Ralph.
Yeah, Mr. Butler?
You want to tell these officers about that man this morning?
Well, I followed him down the street for a block and then turned the corner. That's where I lost him.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah, all I got was a license number.
You are listening to Dragnet, the case history of a police investigation presented in the public interest by Fatima Cigarettes.
September 21st, Thursday, 3 p.m. We took the license number, which the drugstore clerk had given us. We went back to the office and checked it through DMV. We found the car was registered to a Russell Burroughs on Pico Boulevard. We checked him out. He told us that he had loaned his car the day before to a friend of his. He identified the friend as Harry L. Johansson and gave us his last known address, 614 Elderwood Avenue. We got out a broadcast on the car. The Elderwood Avenue address turned out to be a single-story wooden frame house in the southern part of the city on the edge of the industrial district. It needed a coat of paint. A woman in her elderly 30s answered the door and identified herself as Mrs. Johansson. She invited us into the living room. There was a baby playing on the floor.
I don't expect my husband home for another 2 weeks, Sergeant. He's a cosmetic salesman. Travels all over the western states.
When did he leave on this last trip, Mrs. Johansson?
The first of the month. Why, is anything wrong?
What's the name of the cosmetics company that your husband works for?
Harrington Universal. Offices are down on East Main.
Mm-hmm. Do you know a friend of your husband's named Russell Burroughs?
Yes, I do. He's kind of a friend of the family. Please, Sergeant, if there's anything wrong, I don't know.
We talked to Mr. Burroughs this afternoon. He told us your husband's in town. Burroughs loaned him his car.
Harry? That's silly. He's still on the road. He'd certainly let me know if he was coming back early.
You sure of that, ma'am?
Would you excuse me a minute, Sergeant? I'll have to put the baby to bed.
Certainly, ma'am.
Come on, Bonnie. I'll be back in a minute.
Kind of a funny setup, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, if Johansson's pushing bum checks, the money isn't going into his home here.
Wife doesn't act like she knows anything. Seems cooperative.
Well, afraid we're going to have to level with her if we're going to find out anything, huh?
Mm-hmm. She's got a cute little girl.
Sorry, Sergeant.
Perfectly all right. Just a few more questions.
Is it possible that your husband could be in town and you might not know it? I mean, could he be staying with a friend or some relatives?
No, if Harry was in town, he'd come home. Why would he stay with anyone else?
When did you last hear from your husband?
Last week. He wrote from San Francisco. The letter's right there on the mantel.
Oh, huh. Well, besides that letter, do you have any other samples of your husband's handwriting on her?
Well, I think so, yes. Where did you say you were from?
Central Division, forgery detail.
You investigate checks, bad checks?
Yes, ma'am, that's right.
And you know about my husband?
His prison record, yes.
Harry promised me he was through with all that. He gave me his word.
Sorry, ma'am.
About a month ago, he had some extra money. He wouldn't tell me where he got it. Look, Sergeant, maybe you've made a mistake. Maybe it's not Harry at all. You're not sure, are you?
Did your husband use the phone much? I mean, for out-of-town calls, say?
No. Just that one toll call, a Long Beach number, I think. He has a business friend down there he used to call.
Do you know the number, ma'am?
I can show you. It's on last month's phone bill. Please, Sergeant, if Harry's done something wrong, he did it for us. Me and the baby. Harry's not bad.
Yes, ma'am.
He's done something. He did it for us. Harry hasn't had it easy. He wanted to get things for the baby. Clothes, a better house. All he wanted was a little happiness. A little happiness.
You had it wrong, ma'am. You don't buy it with bum checks. Before we left Mrs. Johansson, we called and had a stakeout placed on the house, and then we got a sample of her husband's handwriting and the Long Beach telephone number that he was in the habit of calling. The next morning, Don Myers in handwriting compared Harry Johansson's letter with the signatures on the worthless checks. It matched. We called the Harrington Universal Cosmetics Company. They never heard of Harry Johansson. We called that Long Beach phone number. A woman answered and gave us the address where the telephone was installed. It turned out to be a swanky modern apartment house. In apartment 18, we interviewed a good-looking brunette. She identified herself as Harry Johansson's common-law wife. She was well-dressed, and the apartment was richly furnished.
What's it all about? What do you want, Harry?
Police business. You know where he is?
Well, what's he done?
Do you know where he is?
He drove into Hollywood this morning. He might be back tonight. I don't know for sure.
Is this your apartment?
Yeah. Mine and Harry.
You're sure that Johansson's not here now?
Of course I'm sure. Why?
Well, you won't mind if we come in and look around, eh?
I have a right to know what it's all about.
Johansson's wanted for forgery. Now, if you want to get involved, you help him hide out.
I'm not asking for that kind of trouble. Go ahead and look.
Mm-hmm. Take the bedroom, will you, Ben?
Right. Never mind, cop. Thanks for the help, honey.
I don't want any part of your troubles, Harry. I didn't know a thing about it, okay?
Ben.
Yeah.
You better come along, too, lady.
Well, tell him, Harry. I don't know what it's about. What's the idea of getting me mixed up in this?
How do you think I was paying for this place? Taking you out and buying us clothes for you.
I don't want any part of it. Three-room apartment, a couple of dresses. That's all he ever got me.
You got no complaints, lady.
Huh?
That's more than he bought his kids. 1 p.m. Friday. Ben and I took Harry Johansson to the county jail where he was booked for suspicion of forgery. We called Mrs. Johansson and notified her. She immediately contacted friends and relatives and raised enough money for a writ to have her husband released from jail. 3 days later, Johansson was arraigned and a date set for his preliminary hearing. After the arraignment, Ben and I took him back to the county jail for rebooking.
I'd like to ask you a question, Johansson.
Yeah?
You got any money of your own there?
Why don't you stick to your own business, copper?
That family of yours has had a pretty rough time. Your wife borrowed every cent she could find to bail you out. Now, what's she going to live on?
She's got relatives.
No, there's the elevator.
Come on, Johansson.
They're not going to put me back in Folsom. Not in 100 years.
You've done 2 stretches already for hanging paper. You should have known better, mister.
You got it all figured out, haven't you, Fuzz? Well, I'm not going back.
Take it easy. You got a couple of more weeks on bail before the trial.
Yeah. A couple of weeks.
What's the matter with you? Don't you feel well?
They won't get me back to Folsom.
You're not making it any easier on yourself. All right, Archie.
Don't you cops understand? I hate it. Every lousy bit of it. I'm not going back to Folsom. I'm not going back. Now, do you understand?
It's a good idea, mister. You remember that when you get out. We booked Harry Johansson in the county jail. His bail was continued, and he was released pending the trial. During the next week, along with the district attorney's office, Ben and I helped prepare the case against Johansson. 3 days before the trial opened, we had a phone call from Mrs. Johansson. She told us that her husband had disappeared. Well, there was nothing we could do until he actually failed to appear in Superior Court at the appointed time. On Monday, April 3rd, the case of the State versus Harry L. Johansson officially opened. The defendant failed to show. A bench warrant was immediately issued, and we got out a broadcast and an APB on the suspect. Stakeouts were placed in his house and at the apartment of his common-law wife. 2 days passed. No sign of him.
Nothing, Joe.
Bummer
lady just checked it out.
Yeah. How about those 2 ex-con pals of Johansson's? Did you check with them?
Yeah, nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how I can last that much longer. 1 suit of clothes, no money.
You still got a checkbook.
Hmm.
When did the skipper say he was coming back?
On 7:30 tonight. 7:15 now.
I get it. Forgery, Friday.
Harrison, this is your mother.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Ma.
I forgot to tell you when you called earlier. You're supposed to be home tonight by 8 o'clock.
What's that, Ma?
Mary Fowler. She's coming over to visit tonight, and Genevieve's coming with her.
Yeah, well, look, will you try to explain to them that I'm working and I can't get away, huh?
Well, all right, Joseph, I'll try.
If I possibly can, I'll try to make it home by 10. Will that be all right?
All right, Joseph. I'll see what I can do. Genevieve's going to be disappointed.
Yeah. If I'm later than that, don't wait up for me, huh?
Yes, all right, then.
Bye, Ma.
Yeah. Bye, Joseph.
Oh, hi, Skipper.
The call just came in.
Yeah?
They found Johansson.
Captain Elliott, Ben, and I drove out the highway to the Tahunga Wash. We turned off and headed into the Mount Gleason area. Captain Elliott directed us onto a dirt road. Halfway up one of the mountains, we spotted a group of cars pulled off on the shoulder of the road. We parked behind them, got out, and started over.
Who found the car, Skipper?
One of the people living back in the hills. Spotted it on his way home from work.
Mm-hmm. Coroner got here in a hurry.
Yeah. Hi, Dave.
Oh, how you doing, Joe? Captain Elliott.
How long's he been dead?
Since last night, I figure. Come on over.
Yeah.
You talked to the man who found Johansson's body, Dave?
Yeah, he didn't touch a thing.
What'd you find?
Powder burns on the temple, powder on the hands. The boys from homicide found the note. It's on the seat right next to him. Here it is, here. It's been checked.
Yeah, thanks.
It all ties in, huh, Dave?
Pretty tight, yeah. Gene Bechtel from homicide wants to talk to you, Captain.
Okay, be right back, Joe.
Right. Who do you address the note to, Joe? His wife?
No, the girlfriend.
Look what he wrote it on.
Yeah, blank check.
The story you just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
On April 9th, an inquest was held in the coroner's office on the main floor of the Hall of Justice, Los Angeles, California. In a moment, the results of that inquest. On April 9th, the coroner's jury returned a verdict that the death of Harry L. Johansson was caused by a gunshot wound in the head, self-inflicted. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice for Dragnet comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department.
Fatima Cigarettes, the best of all long cigarettes, has brought you Dragnet from Los Angeles. Coming up, Duffy's Tavern. More good times on NBC.
Welcome back. A kind of downbeat ending. Kane has joined us in the chat room. But a very interesting episode for a lot of reasons. It gives a very nice look at a couple things in terms of, well, first of all, a crime that's not as enforced as it once was. In very few communities do you get into the same amount of trouble over bad check writing. Now, if you're doing forgery, I think that's a little bit different. But if you are writing bad checks off your own account, that basically, for all intents and purposes, most places in the country, becomes a civil matter. In terms of the government doesn't prosecute it, but it becomes a huge, huge burden, you know, to consumers. And they touched on that very briefly in the show, particularly in the conversation with the captains. And it seems to be a thing with captains right now that whoever the captain is gets to complain. Whatever department they're in. But they raise the point. It goes, This is a serious crime. It's definitely not something you would see on television today, that you'd have detectives hunting down somebody for bad check writing. I think our crime system has changed, you know, so it's just not done, and it's just not as glamorous. But they're raising some awareness there. And of course, there's that whole part with Joe Friday and his mother. I was actually reading through different sites. One site has a commentary on this, where they kind of an episode guide where they mention that the show begins with Joe Friday visiting his mother, kind of suggesting, well, you know, Joe Friday's, you know, going by and saying hi to his mom. No. Joe Friday in this point in the series actually lives with his mother. So it's kind of we've gone through a kind of a cultural change where, you know, the idea of living with your parents makes you kind of considered kind of a loser today. But I don't think it was frowned upon if you weren't married. Doesn't say. I think it's just because he's not married, and rent's cheap. but of course we don't. Well, he doesn't act like it. Okay, Andrea, you do not get to suggest Joe Friday's a mama's boy. That's simply not true. I think the culture of the time was a little different. So it's kind of interesting to note how the attitudes changed on that. He does get his own place in later episodes. Mother, of course, is not in the 1960s show. And Andrea is busy doing cultural chauvinism on the 1950s here. Okay, so a couple quick comments. The other comments we got off of Podcast Alley, better than a movie. I love listening to the podcast, and old radio shows are awesome to listen to anytime, and especially on a long road trip. And that's from Jay Hook. And great recordings and excellent series from Consumer Alias 1. Adam has created a quality product with an uncommon eye for detail that appeals to collectors of OTR and fans of Dragnet. His personal observations are lively and kept to a good length. His research about the show is informative and enjoyable. Best of all, his recordings have a much better than average audio quality when compared with many other old-time radio podcasts. Well, thank you very much. And after, you know, for those of you who have been long-time listeners of the program know that we used to get a lot of complaints about the audio quality, so getting compliments on it is really a treat and much appreciated. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. If you've got any comments on any of tonight's show, email me, adam@adamsweb.us. We will be setting up a new show notes blog shortly, and I will let you know about that. And please cast your vote for us at podcastalley.com. That's podcastalley.com. And just put Dragnet in the search bar. For now, though, thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Kane and Andrea, for being with us through the show. For now, though, this is Adam Graham signing off.